إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى، فقد قال عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، my beloved, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself to have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, Most High, and to remember the meeting with Him. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has legislated acts of worship for humanity, for a great wisdom, for a great wisdom and for noble objectives, and for great secrets that we may or may not know. Every act of worship that Allah has legislated is for a noble purpose and objective. Some things that we realize, we understand, we reflect upon, and some things that are beyond our own comprehension. And from those noble and majestic acts of worship is the obligation of performing the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, Al-Hajj. The pilgrimage that is required of every Muslim once in his or her lifetime, for those who are able to do it. This act of worship, it is one that is great and noble in terms of its objectives and its goal. And it is one that is mighty and majestic in its appearance to humanity. When we see the acts of Hajj, the rituals, we see this manifestation of ubudiyyah to Allah that is so mighty and majestic. And indeed, the Hajj, it has fruits, it has results, it has effects upon humanity, things that benefit us in ways that we may or may not realize. And from these noble objectives of the Hajj, from the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, is that the worshipper, the one who comes to his house, he realizes and rectifies the true purpose of his life, the true goal of his life, which is rectification, which is tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who makes the great pilgrimage to the house of Allah, answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he realizes that the goal of his life is to establish the ubudiyyah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the noble goals and objectives of Hajj is the unity of the ummah, and how we bring and come together under the banner of La ilaha illallah. And from these noble fruits and objectives, these noble fruits of the Hajj, we see how we follow the sunnah step by step in every ritual of the Hajj. And we also learn from the Hajj, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, how to purify our spirits and our souls from argumenting, from argumentation, from anger, from ill thoughts, from sexual thoughts. All of these must be removed in order for one to perform the Hajj and it be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. So beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the Hajj, it is one of great merit and benefit for humanity. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal, He states, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. in order that they, humanity, may witness benefit for them. مَنَافِعْ لَهُمْ. And so that they remember the name of Allah in those well-known days. So in order to us to realize, to bear witness to the great benefit during these days, Allah has established this act of ubudiyyah. And what is this manafi'? What are these benefits that we obtain from the Hajj? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that these great benefits are manifest in the next world, in the Akhirah, by earning the Ridwan, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only in the next world. Ibn Abbas, he said, in this very world, we see the benefit of the Hajj. We learn it. He said, we find the benefit to our bodies, to our spirits, from going to the Hajj, as well as the benefit to humanity from coming together, the business that they partake in, the slaughtering that they do together. And so, we learn the benefits of the Hajj. And from these great benefits, brothers and sisters in Islam, is that the Hajj is a communal gathering of the Ummah. It is the bringing together of the four corners of the earth, all people of the earth coming together in a communal gathering, in a conference of sorts, where all Muslims come together hand in hand in the worship of Allah. And indeed, some people, they said that the Islam will remain like a powerful mountain or a rock, and the ships that they send against it, the missionary work, will always smash against this rock and never be successful, as long as three things are in this ummah. The one, the Quran al-Kareem. Number two, the weekly Jumu'ah. And number three, the yearly Hajj. This is what some people have said of wisdom. These foundational aspects of Islam that give this ummah its strength, that hold it together and save it from harm, and save it from the attacks that are coming towards it. And indeed, in these days when the ummah is surrounded by fitan, when the ummah is engulfed in tribulation, then it is more befitting of us to reflect upon these acts of worship and to learn lessons from them, and for us to benefit from them, and to rectify our path if we have gone astray, so that we can come back to the Hadi, the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, from the Hajj, we learn first and foremost, one of the most important aspects of the Hajj is we learn complete submission and humbleness and humiliation to Allah Azza wa Jal. Tadallul, complete humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the result or the understanding of the very words of the talbiyah. The very words by which one enters into the act of pilgrimage, the talbiyah, it is also a symbol of the Hajj itself. It is a symbol of the act of Hajj itself. What we say when we enter into the state of Ihram, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ. Here we are, O Allah, at your service. Here we are answering your call. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. Words that we will repeat four times in every talbiyah. Here we are to answer your call. Words that come from the very soul and being of every person going on Hajj. Perhaps he will repeat it thousands of times. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. Here we are to answer your call. I am here answering your call, and you have no partner. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك. Indeed, all praise and glory is yours, and blessing and dominion. لا شريك لك. There is no partner to you. So here we see, in these few short words, a summation of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, this is the greatest purpose and wisdom that we learn from the Hajj. to establish the Tawheed of Allah. That the very purpose of the existence of humanity in this world, rather the existence of everything in this world, is to establish the Ubudiyya, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we are to answer your call. A lesson for every Muslim, for every believer. Why are we in this world? Are we in this world to follow one's desire? Or are we here to establish the Ubudiyya of Allah? So we see in these words that we begin the Hajj with the very spirit, the Ruh of Islam, establishing Tawheed. Here we are, O Allah, to answer your call, and you have no partner. We have no partner with Allah. Here we are to answer Allah's call, not the call of one's desires, not the call of false beliefs and ideas and philosophies. This is the very essence of Islam. And this is the reminder, one of the most important lessons from the Hajj. And this spirit of Tawheed of Allah, establishing the Tawheed, the monotheism of Islam, it is imbued not only upon every individual, but this should be reflected upon as a society, as humanity, as a whole. Society should reflect upon this goal of life. That the goal of life, the reason for our very existence in this world, is to establish worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much have people searched? The philosophers have researched and given books and discourses and talked about the purpose of life. But here, Islam, in its great wisdom, teaching us through the acts of worship what our purpose is in this world. As a society, every society, every group of people should reflect upon this purpose of life and then base their every decision and every law upon the realization of this goal. One should look at, society should look at how to live life in accordance to the Quran, in obedience to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to please their Lord. This is how societies, this is how every individual will achieve true happiness, true success, and true security in this world and the next. So this is the very important lesson. In order for us to truly achieve happiness, we must establish ubudiyyah to Allah. And this is what Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Those who believe and do not cover up their faith with ظُلْم, with shirk, then what is the result? أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمَنُ. Those are the ones who will truly achieve peace and security. That is the aman. That is the true security and peace of the human being. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And those are the ones who will be on a straight path. Beloved brothers and sisters, security and happiness will not be through money. It will not be through achieving worldly aims and objectives. This is not what Allah is telling us in this ayah. True security, true happiness of life is through establishing the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and not covering it with any shirk with Him. And from the objectives and aims of Hajj, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is that we learn to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all affairs, in all things in life. When we go through the different stages of the Hajj, we follow what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. As was said, the Prophet ﷺ said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me your rituals. Follow my rituals hand in hand, foot in foot, exactly as he did. And this is why Ibn Abbas, he said, perform your Hajj like the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't ask me about Fard and Sunnah. Don't ask me what is the required and what is the sunnah. He said, do it like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. This is what his advice was to those who performed Hajj. So we learn to follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the noble aims and objectives of Hajj, and what is very important for us to reflect upon, is that we follow the middle path, the moderation of Islam, and to stay away from exaggeration and extremism and going to extremes in religion. This is one of the lessons we learn in the Hajj. How is it that we learn this lesson? We see that once Ibn Abbas, he was with Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and Rasulullah, he said, bring me some stones. So the Prophet ﷺ, he took the stones and he looked at them in his hand and he said, like this, throw these type of small stones the size of a chickpea. And he said, beware of using large stones because this is extremism. And then he said, beware of extremism in religion because those before you were destroyed by extremism in religion. Subhanallah, a lesson from the Prophet ﷺ at a time of the gathering of the whole Ummah. To beware of extremism in religion by exaggerating in religion or being remiss and being harsh. By exaggerating and being harsh in religion, one goes to an extreme. And by being remiss and leaving the acts of worship that are required, this is also an extreme that leads one astray. But the middle path of Islam. And we see now those acts that are carried out, they are not following the Sunnah and the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Those who harm innocent people in a society by which they are bound to live in security and justice, which is forbidden by the Sharia of Islam. Those who harm innocent people in churches or in monasteries or in the field, this is forbidden by the Sharia of Islam. These are ways and forms of extremism that our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade in the strongest of terms. Indeed, those were destroyed before you who went to extremes in religion. And thus we should pay heed, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. And also from the wisdom and the blessings and the lessons of Hajj is that we learn to come together in unity. We learn that in the Hajj, the believers, they come together under the umbrella of the Tawheed taught by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our beloved father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, who made the call, all of us come together, and no other power on earth could bring humanity together from so many nations, from so many races, from so many backgrounds. They come together. The only thing that can bring humanity together in such a way is the Tawheed, the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We see this occasion to come together as an ummah, to get to know one another, to benefit from each other's company. We reflect upon this. We learn that as an ummah we should benefit from each other's company, not to hate one another, but in order that we benefit. So this gathering of the Hajj, it is a worldwide conference of the Muslim world to come together and to learn from one another, to help one another. And this should be reflected upon our societies when we go back, to remember that no boundaries separate between the Muslim and his brother. Nothing separates between a Muslim and his brother, because his is the most powerful bond, the belief in La ilaha illallah, محمد رسول الله أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وصلى الله على سيد المرسلين وأشرف الموحدين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإخوتي وأخواتي الكرام beloved brothers and sisters in Islam before we continue in this khutbah we should reflect upon these the unity of the Muslim Ummah. And this is an important lesson that we must bring home in our very communities. The Hajj, it is a lesson that the tie between every Muslim and his brother is the tie of Tawheed. And what we see of differences and separation is not from what is from our religion. We come together during the Hajj in order to remind ourselves on a yearly basis of the oneness of the Ummah of Islam, the Tawheed of La ilaha illallah that brings us all together. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the Hajj, when he said he gave the farewell pilgrimage, he gave a khutbah where he reminded the Ummah that he said, Inna dima'akum, indeed your blood and your wealth and your honor is sacred. He was forbidding any harming of one believer to another. Those acts of jahiliyyah, where a Muslim would kill another, or a person would kill another, blood was spilt, wealth was taken wrongfully, honor was destroyed and betrayed. So he reminded us in the final Hajj, he said, indeed, your blood and your wealth and your honor are sacred, like the sacredness of this day, the day of Arafat, when he gave the khutbah, the holiest day for the believers. And he said, like the sacredness of this land, where one is not even allowed to break a branch of a tree. فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. And the shahr, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the month that is the one of the sacred months where fighting is forbidden. So he reminded us of the honor that we must protect of one another, and the wealth and the blood that must be kept sacred. This is also part of preserving the unity of the believers. And also to conclude, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we are approaching the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The days about which the Prophet ﷺ said, there are no days of the year during which good actions are more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla than these days. Narrated by Bukhari. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, which will begin shortly, these are days during which good deeds are multiplied manyfold, and one is enjoined during these days to do all kinds of good deeds. And from the good deeds is to join the bonds of kinship and brotherhood, to ask about our brothers who are missing, to seek out those who are sick and to make dua for them, to call those who we haven't seen, to mend the relationships that have been broken throughout the year. This is one of the best things that we can do during these 10 days. What are good deeds? They're not only praying, but good deeds take all forms and all shapes. So we can take advantage of these days to bring together our hearts, to rectify any ill feelings that are between us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. And so they've witnessed the benefit as we watch the Hujjaj. We witness the unity of the Ummah. We also make mention, وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. These days should be filled with takbir, and tahleel, and tasbih, wherever we go. As we see in Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that whenever I went to the market, I would make tasbih during these days. He would remind people of the greatness of this act of ubudiyyah to Allah. So if we're not on the Hajj in body, we can be there in spirit. We can be together as an ummah in spirit, inshaAllah ta'ala. And to conclude, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, those who wish to do the udhiyah, which is the slaughtering on the day of Eid, then the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded, whoever wishes to do udhiyah, then let him refrain from cutting his hair and his nails during the 10 days of the 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah until he slaughters. And so, any one of us who does the udhiyah, whether he himself does it or he hires an agent to carry out the udhiyah, he must refrain from cutting his hair and nails. This is narrated by Muslim and was mentioned by the ulama. And if a person he is appointed, or a woman, or a family, or a parent who was slaughtered on their behalf, then they are allowed to cut their hair and nails. But only the one who is doing the udhiya on his behalf, who's doing it on behalf of his family, they must refrain from that in order to achieve the full reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey him completely and follow his beloved sunnah. We ask Allah to give us the blessings of this Hajj, to let us join us there together in Arafat in the future, inshaAllah ta'ala, except from all of the Hujjaj, and to bring our hearts together in his obedience. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat, wal muslimeen wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. اللهم وحد بين صفوف المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا إليك ردا جميلا يا رب العالمين اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا رب العالمين اللهم احسن ختامنا وختام المسلمين اجمعين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة اعيننا محمد واله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا واقيموا الصلاه
الله اكبر الله اكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الفلاح خذ خامة السلام خذ خامة السلام الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر.